محمد وآل محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من يوم عداوتهم إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الحكيم وهو أصدق القائلين: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. صل على. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I pray all of you are well, and that your fast today went well as well, inshallah, and that our ibadat and a'mal are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. We are discussing the subject of death, and inshallah, eventually we'll get to life after death. And yesterday, where we left off in the discussion of maut, is that when it comes to that final moment when we begin to enter the world of angels, at that point Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restricts the opportunity for repentance. And we gave example of Fir'aun yesterday, and this is something that is a huge lesson for us, you know, is that God gives us signs throughout that at any moment life can come to an end, and the expectation is that we use these learning opportunities to reform ourselves, to repent, and to become better human beings, so that when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are no regrets that we go through. To continue on that, as we said, that death and the last moments of death are the entry into the world of angels. And as we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned an angel of death to carry out the responsibility of taking the soul of human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He discusses angels, is quite interesting. For example, in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 61, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ إِبَادِي, that He is all-powerful and mighty over His servants. وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظَ, and He sends over you guardian angels. We'll explain. He sends over you guardian angels. Hatta إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّطُونَ, until it's the time of their death when our messengers come and take them away, and they do not fail in their duties, Allah says. What is interesting, you know, is that there are two types of angels that are being described here by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the one that protects, the hafaza, and the hafiz. And what that tells us is that each and every one of us has been appointed an angel whose job it is to protect the soul. Subhanallah. It is to protect that soul from falling into death, for example, falling into these type of things. But their job is just to guard it, right? Now, naturally, when it's time for death to come, that protector leaves, and that's when the angel of death comes and takes the soul. But until then, it's that hafiz's job to look after our soul. And if you think about it, like how many, like what a beautiful system that God has created, you know, that around us, as we know, we already have two angels who write our deeds, and then there's a third angel that is constantly around us whose job it is just to protect us, you know. Like if you think about it, you know, these are thoughts that come to us many times at night, you know, like for example, when I have to travel, you know, shaitan is really good at just passing whispers, you know, like what if your child falls sick? What if the car breaks down? What if the refrigerator breaks? What if this? Oh, there could be 1,000 things that could go wrong, you know? But that's just the way Iblis tries to trick us, tries to make us panic. What we have to do is remind ourselves that Allah is the protector, right? And Allah has sent someone to protect. Will things go wrong sometimes? Of course they will. But if we count all of the things that can possibly go wrong, in more times than not, none of those things happen and everything works out the way it's supposed to. Why? Because Allah has sent protectors for us, right? And Allah has sent us these angels to look after our affairs. Things may happen, sure. But at the same time, there is this protector there. And if you think about that, right? Like if you look at the people that are here, at the very minimum, you multiply that number by 3 because that's how many angels are in this room at the same time. And that brings this gathering to be a very holy gathering, right? A very blessed gathering. And even if you take that a step further, this is why, you know, like our scholars sometimes say that when we say the salam in our prayer, the last salam, we say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, right? And it's addressed to the angels that are there. But if it was only addressed to the 2 angels, the correct Arabic would be As-salamu alaykuma. But the fact that we say As-salamu alaykum means that there is this third angel who makes it a plural of angels that are there. So again, the concept is really important that, you know, sometimes it's that reminder that we need to have a positive effect on our lives, you know. Like we know for a fact that if somebody was watching me, I would try to conduct myself in the best of manners, right? I wouldn't do things that I may do in private. Our job is to remind ourselves and find a very active and a vibrant way of reminding ourselves that, man, there's angels watching every single thing that we do. Obviously, God is watching, you know what I mean? And that line that God is watching hasn't really had a tremendous impact on our lives, you know? This is something we tell our kids, you know? Like when my daughter is doing something and I don't know what she's doing, I'll be like, God's watching. And I'm not sure what impact it has, to be quite honest, because I know God is watching, yet I misbehave. You know what I mean? But if we always try to remind ourselves that it's not just God who's watching. You know, yes, God is Arhamur Rahimeen. God will forgive. God will overlook. But man, like, there are other people who are bearing witness to my not good behavior. That should be embarrassing for us, right? And that's embarrassment is one of the reasons why we don't want to meet God in a state of haram. It is one of the reasons why we don't want our books to be read in front of everyone, because it will be embarrassing for us on that day. And so we work on that in this particular life to remind ourselves of these things. How will the angel of death appear to us, right? Now this is something, again, entirely dependent upon our soul, what kind of life that we led, right? There's a hadith from our sixth Imam As-Sadiq alayhi afdalu salatu wa salam. Salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, where he says the angel of death comes like a mirror for us, basically, right? And he describes the story of Nabi Ibrahim, that one day Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam returned home and he saw an individual whose beauty was the like that he had not encountered before. And so he asked him, "Who are you? And I've never seen you before." And he says, "I'm the angel of death," who had come to Nabi Ibrahim at that time. And Nabi Ibrahim said, "Subhanallah." He says, "How can anyone be afraid of you when they see you? Right? Because of your beauty, because of your countenance that's there." To which he replies, "Ya Khalil Allah, when God desires good for an individual, he sends me in this form. But when Allah decides to punish somebody, he sends me in a different form," he says. Yeah? And so again, we go back to this notion, this idea, this same message that we've been preaching, that our journey is going to be entirely dependent upon the lifestyle that we choose. And I don't know how else to phrase it, you know. This is why so much emphasis has been placed on this discussion in the Holy Quran, in hadith literature. Because their job, right? The job of the Quran is to save. The job of the Prophet was to save. The job of the Imams was to save. And you can imagine if one's job it is to save, how much heartache it is when the people just don't want saving. You know what I mean? Like this is why, like when you look at Aba Abdullah in Karbala, you know, yes, on one hand, he was grieved at what was taking place to his family, but I swear the heart of Hussein was soft, yeah? And it hurt him as much. I have no doubt that the people just couldn't listen to what he said. That because of fighting him, they were going to hell. This was not a small thing to Abu Abdullah, right? And this shouldn't be a small thing to us. It should pain us. It should pain us when people don't want to change. There's nothing we can do about it. We have to live with that pain. We can't force anyone to action. But it should pain us. This is why, you know, Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, the two obligations that we have, at the minimum, there should be pain in the heart. And this is where we have to kind of work on ourselves. We live in a time where haram is so prevalent, where haram is so normalized, right? That even that pain no longer exists in our heart. It's just adi, it's just normal, right? But that's where we have to work on, because the heart of a believer should be ripe like that. It should be soft like that. And so the angels appear to us in this way, and the Quran talks about it in numerous ways. For example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how the angels come to the believers, in Surah Hamim, a sajda, verses 30 to 32, Allah describes how the angels come to believers. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, that for those who say Allah is our Lord, and then they are steadfast on that. Yeah, again, the denoting the importance of action, right? Because it's one thing to say Allah is Allah, and then if my actions don't match up to that, then I don't really consider Allah as Allah, right? If I consider Him to be my Lord, I will obey Him, right? I will submit to Him. And so you have to be steadfast. So the verse says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. And then they are steadfast on that belief. They act upon that belief. What happens? تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The angels will descend upon them, and they will say what? أَلَا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. You have nothing to fear and nothing to be sad about. Yeah? أَبْشِرُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُعَدُونَ. And they give Bashara good news for the paradise that which they will receive. This is how angels come to those who are good. Yeah? But how do they come to those who are bad? Numerous verses talk about this. One example we'll give from Suratul Anfal, verse number 50. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ يَتَوَفَّى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And if you could see that when the angels take the souls of those who disbelieved, what do they do? يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ. They strike them on their faces and on their back. Yeah? These are angel strikes. You know, this is not my tap that I will give you, you know. But these are the taps of angels that have reverberations, right? And so the way that angels come to us as well is different. I'm really debating if I should go further. You all have been mujahideen to sit through so many du'as today, you know? There's a little bit more. Should I go or should I end? I don't know. Of course you'll say Bismillah, you know? Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. I'll end in my time that was given, you know, which is still 5 more minutes, inshallah. The final moments of our lives, or the final moments of life, you know, are known when we are about to die. They're known as sakarat al-maut, that a person endures this sakarat. Allah talks about this in Surah Al-Qaf, verse number 19, where He says, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. That the pangs of death, is translated as the pangs of death, the pain of death, or even sometimes it's translated as the intoxication of death, will bring the truth. And this is what we talked about yesterday, that maut is haqqul yaqeen. It brings about the truth. But that truth, the enduring of that truth, is mixed with this type of deliriousness, of delusion. Now again, this delusion is not necessarily looked at the body, right? But it's the soul. Sometimes the body will be at rest. We don't know what's happening behind it, you know? And this is sometimes, you know, I get this call many times, and the doctors today many times will say the same thing, that when a patient, for example, or a loved one for us is on the machine and the doctors are trying to tell us to unplug the machine and we say we can't do it, right? Because we've plugged them in and now we have to let nature kind of take its course, they will tell us the body is suffering. And we would answer back and say, but the soul is not suffering. Yeah? The soul is enduring what is going on there, right? Because at that moment, the soul knows that this 5 more minutes of endurance of this is giving me 5 stages of daraja in akhirah. Yeah? The soul is very well aware of that. And so if we can just separate the soul and the body at that moment, it will bring about some solace in us. That yes, it may seem like, why are we putting them through this? But I swear to you, the soul is being enriched at that moment. The soul is getting barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that moment. And depending on the attachment of the body and the soul to dunya, the soul is enduring sakarat. Yeah, the soul is enduring these pangs of death. Now the pangs of death is important for us to understand that it doesn't matter what type of person it is, whether you are the best of believers or not, you will endure some type of sakarat al-maut, because this is something everyone goes through, right? Now these pangs of death is a very beautiful verse, you know. I like to quote this verse because I just like the sound of it. From Surah Al-Hajj, verse number 2, Allah talks about the end of times. And when He talks about the end of times, what does He say? يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. And on that day, every nursing mother will abandon the child it is nursing. Subhanallah. That's not a small thing, yeah? That the mother will always protect her baby. Yeah? But Allah says that the fright of that day is such that the mother will abandon that baby. You know, and again, this is not hyperbole. God does not exaggerate. This is how it will be on that day. And then He says, وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتٍ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا. And every pregnant woman will forego that child, or that child will come out. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى. And then Allah says, you will see people as though they are intoxicated on that day. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. But they are not intoxicated. وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. SubhanAllah. But the punishment of God is severe, Allah is saying. Yeah, this is not small. We can avoid these things, right? So the question is that how come every soul will endure some range of sakarat, yeah, or sukran at that point? And there are many reasons for this, right? The transition is difficult, no matter who we are. Because imagine if we, for example, only know one thing for an extended period of time, and now we are going to something new altogether, there is anxiety, right? If we've all migrated, or most of us have migrated, there was, even in that small migration, there was anxiousness that we felt, yeah? Sometimes language barrier, where will I get a house, where will I get a job? Well, it was still a world that I could relate to. I am about to go to a world that I have no idea what it's like. And so there is this anxiety, and that anxiety is part of that sakarat, is part of those pangs. Some people are overly attached to dunya. Everything for them was surrounded by dunya. And so now they see that the dunya is about to go. And so it's very difficult for them. The soul leaving the body is not easy. It's painful for some, right? I remember one of our scholars was saying that imagine if you go and get your tooth pulled without any medicine, like how painful is that, right? It's painful. He said, that's just one part of your existence that's being ripped from you. The soul is intertwined through every fabric of our existence. It is being snatched from you. Yeah, it is not easy. Yeah, and again, all of that is dependent on the lifestyle that we live. Imam Ali alayhi salam, I'll end with this. He says in sermon number 109, and I'll end with this. It's a bit lengthy, but I'll quote this. He says, whatever they were ignoring has befallen them. Yani death, life of the next world has befallen them. Separation from this world from which they took themselves safe has come to them. And they have reached that in the next world which they had been promised. Whatever has befallen them cannot be described. Imam is saying this. The sakarat of death, the pangs of death and grief of losing this world have surrounded them. Consequently, their limbs become lethargic and their complexion changes. Then death increases its struggle over them. In some, it stands in between him and his power of speaking. Although he lies amongst his own people, looking with eyes, hearing with his ears, with full wits and intelligence, he then thinks over how he has wasted his life and in what activities he passed his time. He recalls the wealth he collected when he was blinded himself in seeking it and acquired it from fair and foul sources. Now the consequences of collecting it have overtaken him. He gets ready to leave it. It should remain for those who are behind him. He would thereupon bite his hands with his teeth out of shame for what was disclosed to him about his affairs at the time of death. He would dislike what he coveted during the days of his life and would wish that one who envied him on account of it and felt jealous over him for it should have taken it instead of himself. This is realities that are being painted. Are we immune from that? It depends on what we do with our lives. Yeah. If we realize that every single morsel of food that we eat, we will be taken into account for. Yeah. Every food here that we sometimes waste, we will be held to account for. Yeah. Everything that we take for granted, we will be held accountable for. And so if we live our lives based on that type of clear accounting, then inshallah, when our time comes, there will be nothing that will be there for our regret. Inshallah, if Allah gives us life, we will continue the day after tomorrow with this beginning of barzakh, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wan, anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He hasten the return of our imam, that He forgive the sins of our parents and loved ones, that for those who are going through difficulty, that He end their difficulty. For those that have asked us to pray for them, Ya Allah, accept their hajat. And finally, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for those that we leave this month of Ramadan as better servants than we entered it, inshaAllah. Rahimallahu man kara'a suratil mubarakatil fatiha masbuqatan bis salati ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.